This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Houston Hurricane! Come on.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
All right, I know it was not Rock'em Sock'em Robots because that was a physical analog game. That was a video game you were playing.
You made your own calls then.
Punch
and
Out.
You gave away the answer. He's trying to. It's a game.
Well, I thought you were trying to get to the name of it, so I was going to help you out.
He was. Just like in Jeopardy, they're trying to get to the answer.
I misread you.
I hope today the hate can turn on Rob and not me.
We'll get to you in a second. I just sometimes wonder how long he's been doing a show and when he will ever figure it out.
That's why I keep coming to work every day, Mike. One of these days, I'll figure it out.
Almighty. Anyway, right out of the gate.
Yep.
Just knocks me right off the rails.
Mike, I
prepare it, and then it's like, blah, blah, blah!
Like myself today than I've ever been.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so welcome to the show. And messy. And I don't mean the guy from Frosty the Snowman. I mean the hat trick scored by the 65-year-old Messi, who makes me almost want to go back and watch the World Cup, because that's all over my feed this morning that Messi was scored a hat trick, which is pretty damn fine. By the way, I don't even know whether this is true or not. I know it's true in the NHL. When they score a hat trick in the NHL, they really do throw hats on the ice.
Right.
They don't throw hats out on the pitch, do they, when they score a goal, three goals in the World Cup, do they? No? Nobody knows.
Nobody
gives depends
soccer.
On where
Nobody
they do it.
Nobody gives a shit on this
but,
show.
In but, France, they throw bread. Mm-hmm. And in England, they throw teeth. It depends on where the pitch is. So
yeah,
it all depends.
This is true.
Messi's old, though. How old is he?
37. Goodness. I think he's 37 if you call him
real old.
But it was big news. So the World Cup last night.
You're telling me the news. Now I want to go and find those goals and edit that together with the magician from Frosty.
Messi, wow, that's thinking. Now let's move right on to you. We dealt with it yesterday. We're going to deal with it today, and I'm going to respectfully.
Hoping we could just have a fun show.
Well, I'm going to respectfully. You know, you're not going to. I would not expect you to hate what I'm going to say. But I want to reiterate to the listening audience that. In these times we have, there are many, many programs that are singular-minded, and there are many, many programs that are debate-oriented, and there are many, many programs that are political, and there are many, many programs that are pop culture, and we take almost everything, and we kind of put it in a blender, and we mix it all up, and we spew it out to you. And I think that when people say, "Well, is it politics or sports?" I said, "No, we talk about politics. We talk about sports on occasion, and it depends on what the mood is and what we're feeling." So I really moved away from it yesterday. I didn't pay much attention to it until this morning, and I noticed that our boy Josh is getting picked on, and people feel satisfaction that are of a certain mindset to pound on him. I'd like to point one little fact out here.
All right,
he comes into this arena as a non-professional. All right. Really. And he's behind the scenes. He is still new to the idea of being featured on a program. And he will debate us, you and me, Rob, when he because there's a reason why he is a third wheel. By the way, that's purely organic.
Yeah.
I watch things and I see where they sit. And I'll be honest with you, Josh. When I first heard you on this show, I said that'll be fine. Behind the scenes will be fine.
Yeah, it was never the plan.
And that was never the plan. But there is an element that, first of all, for those of you that are going so far as to say, you know, he shouldn't be part of the show because of his belief system, if that's the way everything should be, then you would be able to go to your channel and you would be able to hear your point of view, and no other point of view would ever exist. And that's the way. And I would hate but if you, yeah, go
Mike,
ahead.
I've got a statement ready for those people.
Oh, you've prepared a statement.
Yeah, I've All prepared.
Right. All right. Is it going to be, let me ask this before I finish. Is it going to be provocative? Is it going to get people angry at you all over again?
No.
Okay.
It's I've given in. They win. Today will be my last show. If that means there's no show tomorrow, so be it.
So, Josh, you've done it. He has resigned, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
He's resigning.
But
he will no longer.
In a classy way, he gave notice. It's not like he just didn't show. Yeah.
I will finish this show. I will do the bonus show. I will not be showing up tomorrow.
Good.
Right. All right. There it is. So, and there, you know there it is.
Monday, new week. No, me either.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. So that's it. He's gone. Yep. You've
Enjoy
succeeded.
The end.
You've succeeded, and that's all there is to it. So now you have to clarify what led you to this decision.
Attacks online and the fact that I am very open about my beliefs, but I am also open. That I love is love, and you love other people, but love doesn't always mean acceptance. Love doesn't mean encouragement of things you disagree with.
Right.
I don't speak out hate. I try not to.
Mm-hmm.
I try to speak love and speak honest about what I agree with.
Right.
And when the pushback I get is if you're not on my team, you're wrong. And we've
there's nothing. There's when it comes to teams.
Well,
I get the team thing, but what I don't
when I
want
say you. I'm not saying you, Mike.
Yeah. I get it. Here's the bottom line with all of it. How long have we been working together now? Almost. Are we into our third year? Is that because the time flies so fast?
This is our third year. April was 2 years, so this makes us like 2 1/3 years. About.
So
and we've only attacked one group of people together.
Who would that be?
I don't know. I lost steam.
The listeners, right, so, who he was referring to. You
so
attacked
I picked
the
up,
listeners.
I picked up on it, and I don't mind. I disagree. I don't mind. What's he talking about? I don't mind. You know, obviously, I had the F offline for me yesterday. I'm fine with whatever. What, you know, when it gets into the job, okay, when it gets into because he thinks the way he thinks, he shouldn't be associated with the show. If that's the way we're all going to do it now, if that's the way we're going to come in here and do shows, you can go to wherever your corner is, and on any format, network TV, podcasts, radio shows, and hear everything that you agree with, then, you know, it's going to be essentially who's in power at that time, and the other people will be persecuted. I'm off sidetracked here. I'm very, very sidetracked right here because as far as the show is concerned, it is refreshing. It's not pleasant. I don't think it's pleasant for Josh, and it's not always pleasant for me to debate things and to have arguments on the show. And, you know, it's a particularly charged time in a particularly charged overall year. All right. So it's a very, very active time with the MMA matches in a year that has been very difficult anyway for a lot of people.
Sure.
But when the only thing that really lights my candle is when it's I know a Hall of Famer that doesn't listen anymore because of Josh. It's like If that's the case, then, you know, don't anyone that is that disagrees with you, if you put your head in the sand and you go away, I get it. We don't have to agree to be friends. We don't have to agree to have him as a part of this show. And now if I can get one step further into it, is there are two things at work that I would appreciate people be mindful of. Is that Josh, not being a broadcast guy, not being a guy, you listen to him and you can tell.
Right.
This is not his wheelhouse, opening his mouth and talking on this kind of podcast every day. He's great at his sports thing and he talks about sports, but he came into this arena and he debates me because he's got balls. And I love someone that actually brings it, because otherwise I think it would be pretty goddamn boring if he came in and was, and I had two other people. By the way, all three of us are amateurs in the political arena. Mm-hmm. We do the best we can. We have our opinions, but I never profess to be an expert in political science.
We don't come prepared. We don't come prepared for those arguments.
We do not. We do not list talking points. We do not come in here. I will look at a news story and gobble it up if I'm interested in it. But I get it all the time. And there are people that pigeonhole me in a group that I hang out with and never get by it. I'm identified by 10 to 20 people in the golf group I play with, and there is never anything that changes that. I am that person. I am the liberal. There was a joke about it made yesterday. By the way, the guys have been very, very nice to me about leaving Happy Valley, and they're saying, we'll take you upstairs so you can rescind it. And, really nice, really busting balls in a really wonderful way, and I find it endearing, and I love the membership there because these are very successful people that have great stories. The same thing, though, is that for my liking, when there's blowback, I think that makes me more of a broadcaster that people want to listen to. If there's no blowback, and I direct this at Mr. Spiewak, if there's no conflict, it crushes me. I get shit. My number one shit that I take from listeners is picking on Rob. Mike, you're a monster for you. Well, Rob doesn't defend himself.
You're trying to get a fight.
I can't win. I literally cannot win. It's the way it is. I'm not changing Rob after 35 years. Rob will be the first one to admit that he doesn't do conflict. You don't do conflict well. You don't like it. You were traumatized by it when you were a kid.
I was.
And you don't do it. And so I know that sometimes I come across as a monster because I'm the only one that's arguing. With Josh, there's a little blowback, and it comes back, and it balances things out a little bit. As I said, not going to change Josh, not going to change Rob. So it's a lot of different stuff going on at the same time. And I'm fine with you taking shots at all three of us. What I'm not fine is when you're talking about somebody's job, and somebody's got to leave.
Yeah.
And somebody's got to, like I've got to quit, or I don't put any effort into the show. I'm up at 5:15 in the morning this morning putting this show together. It might not sound like it all the time, but that's the fucking truth, people. And so when you're doing that, and, because Mike gets mad because Rob, screws something up, and then Rob says, I'm sorry, and I'm a monster for 24 hours. I get that. That's just the way, that's my lot in life. Yes.
Can I offer two things? First of all, if you were truly a monster, if we really had trouble, do you think I would still be here? No.
Not for the money we pay you. No.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't be here for the money they pay me.
But Mike, you know what?
The money I pay me. And Josh wouldn't be here either.
No, you're right. You're right. But no, if there's anything monstrous going on, it's because we're playing it up. So don't worry about that.
No,
I are fine.
Can I just correct? I get, when I get legitimately
of course
peeved.
Yes.
You know, like
it's never on the air. I tell you it's not on the air. It's off the air.
It's the awkward right when the show ends.
Yeah, that's when you're peeved.
Or worse, before.
No, but I really, really, I understand the drama. And then somebody will say something along the lines, oh, I'm glad I'm not hearing that drama. It's like there are people that love the drama.
Yeah.
And there are people that have to say they don't love the drama. Well, by saying you don't listen anymore because of the drama, you're on a thread talking about the show. So you're lying to start with.
It all goes back to the fact that there's a little something for everybody. And yesterday's show is a test tube example of that. We did everything yesterday. Conflict, laughter, news, everything. But the one thing I wanted to say
is, we all kind of agreed at the end of the show. There was pretty, you know, a little bit of everything, I thought.
This goes back to about 1990. When Rush Limbaugh started to do a radio show for people that wanted to hear someone in a position at a pulpit that only told them what they already agreed with and repeated it over and over and over again. There were never guests that conflicted with him, nothing. He just got in, and at that time, he was against the current administration, and then, you know, he lost popularity when he was agreeing.
I would guarantee that would be a point that you and I would disagree on also, Josh, that that's not where it came from, where you point at it, you know, and say you started it. But I think you could make a case for there being, and you have to open your mind about this.
Yeah, it's not healthy to just listen to something that supports what you already believe. You have to open yourself and hear other opinions. And yeah, I mean, we take shots at Josh. Josh takes shots at me. It's fine. In real life, Josh and I are really good friends.
Let's do this.
We overlook each other's, you know, things where we don't agree.
Let's take it to its extreme.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Would it be safe to say, and I welcome the comments to, you know, educate me, give me your opinion on this. Would it be safe to say that if you took liberalism to its very, very extreme,
right,
like the furthest left you could go, you would get communism? That's what they bust my balls about. That's what they joke about.
Sure.
That communism being, it's the state that controls everything, and the state doles out the money, and the state, you know, the state controls your farm, your business, your job, and all that. That would be, as the way. Now, when you talk about right wing politics, would it be safe to say that the far right, the extreme, would be pure fascism, where it's almost a dictatorship? You've got totalitarian control over, you know, the extreme right. Where the
I would
extreme
say
right
if you
that.
Painted in very broad strokes,
wouldn't that be the two?
But,
right, that's why.
But communism can also have a leader up front that is making the decisions. So not a dictatorship per se, but if you were just to paint in the broadest of strokes, where those were your two extremes, fascism and communism, I'd say, yeah, that's a pretty good way to sort of just break
it
down.
I always have looked at it. So what do you have there?
But do any of us really think we are on either side of an extreme?
Not right now, no. But I feel as though the party in power right now is the extreme end of the party.
It's going the other way.
I would like to have, in a perfect world for me, I would like to have a president that was almost impossible not to love and like, and everybody got behind, and middle of the road policies that were amenable to everyone.
Wasn't it like that? I mean, and you'll remember better than me, but in the days of Truman, everyone liked him.
Shut up. He bombed Hiroshima, Rob. So
Eisenhower.
But then again, we just had a war with that country, so everybody was for that as well. All right, Scoob 844 says no.
All right, good comment, Scoob.
I will never support a party supporting abortion, and that's a mistake right there. When you say supporting abortion, that is not what I support. I do not support abortion.
And that's the thing, is if you take one policy and attack about one thing, where everything is way too nuanced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so right away you get into the minutiae of a minor part of an argument when you say supporting abortion, you're not saying I support a woman's right to choose. I believe the two are very, very different. Did they lose me?
We have your audio, but not your video.
Okay, let's see if I can get back on here.
All right. Mike, you aborted your video. I support your choice.
Did we lose Mike now?
Is he gone? Well, now would be your time to say all your opinions, Josh.
Right. Here's my opinions before I leave. No, I think I get hate just because I'm honest on this show.
Yeah.
And I push back and I share my opinions. And I honestly hold back a lot because I don't want it to be a political show. I don't want it to be constant.
It's not a political show. I mean, we touch on everything, but it's not what we do. So
right. And we all disagree. If you go out your door, someone's going to disagree with you. The argument of, well, because you support Trump, you need to change.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. It's too simple. I don't agree with everything
you
Trump
said
does.
A word I that is
spoke
not
that I
you said a word that is not looked at enough, and that's nuanced. It's not one or the other all the time. And I'm not just talking about where we are now. I'm
careful.
Talking about many, many years ago. It was always that way.
Careful, if you say both sides, everyone gets upset.
Okay, then I will not say that.
That triggers some people.
At least in the 80s and 90s, as I was taught political science, is that the vast majority, if you take the two extremes, the vast majority of the people land somewhere in the middle. And when you do that, that's because of nuance. It's not like you can support all the, and I am not saying anybody's right or anybody's wrong. I'm just saying that that's the way things are. And that
was a big push when Trump did win, and people mm-hmm. were attacking these comedians and Joe Rogan and stuff. And a lot of things they outspoke was, look, I've always been in the middle.
Yeah.
I just picked this side of the line this time. Next time I might choose the other side.
Yeah. Thank you, C. Bush 1018, for the super chat. Josh brings something different to the show, even if I don't always agree. I love what he brings. I do too. I hope you aren't really leaving, but regardless, thanks for everything you do. No, Josh, I think in solidarity, I will not be here tomorrow either.
You know what? Well, I just assume if I leave, the show goes away, because I am told that I am the only here to press the buttons and make sure the show happens.
That's what it is.
That's the attacks I get. I am here because Mike can't do the show without me.
That's right.
So I assume no show Thursday, no show Monday.
Will you still do Hicks Nicks?
It depends if I can get through this Elvis movie.
What about your other? Oh yeah, we're doing Viva Las Vegas. What about your other podcast, Hicks Nicks 336?
Yeah. That will always will always take. I am much more prepared to argue passionately about the Orioles over there.
Now, there's been several comments in the chat that I take shots at you and your faith. And I do occasionally point at the fact that you are the most faith-driven person on this show. But I don't think I've ever said anything that's going to make you think that I doubt respect for what you do. Do you ever take it in such a way? No.
If it was, again, I would have left the show before now. Look, I'm not leaving the show. We're taking Thursday off and Friday off.
It's
so Mike and I
day.
Can travel up for your dad's
My
celebration.
Dad's celebration of life. That is
so no show Thursday, no show Monday.
Right. But we'll be back loaded for bear on Tuesday, and maybe even with some bonus tape of stuff that happened over the weekend and a recap of the whole thing. And, you know, while you bring it up, that is going to be 2:00 at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern on Saturday the 20th. We'll be offering comments at 3:00, but there'll be food, there'll be drink, there'll be a lot of fun stuff to discuss, and I hope more laughter than tears. So if my dad ever connected with you or he meant something to you on the show, I would be honored if you showed up. And don't hesitate because you're not family or anything like that. This is open to everybody that loves Bob. So come on out. We'd love to see you.
And I'll leave my MAGA hat at home.
Yeah. Well, we're going to put it on his memory table, his MAGA hat.
Well, that's his.
That's his think? MAGA hat. It's right. a museum I mean, piece. Yeah.
Right.
but you know, like you make fun of that I never leave my basement or that, you know, I'm stuck in a loveless marriage.
Two resignations today.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're
Who?
Done. You're, oh,
Mike,
you're done
I can't
also.
Do it anymore.
I,
okay.
But Mike, I can't do it.
Mike, I have to stop you.
Yes.
I just took mine away. and explained the real reason for I won't be here Thursday and Monday.
Oh, okay, very good. All right, so that so Josh was doing shtick. So if you Josh is very dry though, anyway, so you really might have been fooled by that. I'm not going to do the behind the scenes. That's circuit overload for the listeners right
okay.
now. That'll be for after. The moral of the story is find technology where you can save things. And you don't have to add them all after the fact you go away, where it would be simply click, click, and back in.
It gets you every time, doesn't it?
It's load the truck.
I mean, when I say you, I mean it gets everybody.
Yeah, I guess if you're going to get an analogy, it would be essentially when that happens, what happened right there, I've got to take two dump trucks and load the dump trucks back up again.
I thought, like, you know, when you said that, I pictured an older pickup truck full of corn, and you lost all your corn, and you had to put all the corn back on the truck.
Fun.
Come by and get Mike's corn.
Yes.
I'm sorry, while you were away, I did get an email from Margaritaville that we will not be able to have the cage fight.
Oh,
damn
no.
Damnation.
Well, we were all done. We were building... We built the squared circle on Jimmy Buffett's front yard.
I came in here today with this subject of Josh that I just wanted to say that there's one thing that I really value a lot in people that are in this business. I like people that have a little brass and stones enough to do it. Now, even Rob, with being non-confrontational, Rob has put himself out there and gotten on a microphone. And if you think that's easy, it's not. It's not really easy to do it. But the idea of having someone to banter with and someone to go back and forth with, it's refreshing. And I think it adds a level of drama that that I hope some people can enjoy. That's all I wanted to say. You know,
so
that's it. And that's the way it's going to be. And I like it that way. And I think that we also have the prime directive, which is being our stupid selves and being silly and busting balls when we want to and when it's deserved and all that. But as I said before, The two things are that if I believe more than anything that if you have just one point of view all the time, 24/7, it makes for small thinking individuals, and it also makes for very unstimulating content. And I want that. I want people to have a variety of approaches. And this is just based on our business relationship and our friendship. And I'm not saying this and asking Josh to agree because it's probably the first time he's hearing it. Josh and I, when it comes to off air, we don't discuss that really. He might make, did you see so-and-so? And then we'll have a discussion about something without coming to swords points. And,
what about
and two people
all those-
couldn't be more, could not be more diverse in their opinions than me and Josh.
What about the manifestos he mails you, though?
I told him to stop that.
I know, but
tedious.
He loves it. He loves it. Handwritten, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
I send Mike manifestos. I send Rob Bibles. I just over and over
the time.
Again.
Right.
No. We are actually friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also when you're talking about you, I know one particular, and if I'm wrong, I think that, I know that you're passionate about your religion, your religious beliefs, but I also know you are passionate about live and let live. And you wouldn't be on a show like this if you didn't feel that way, you know? Mm-hmm. So
here, I'll get a little behind the scenes or behind my life that I don't share online. My daughter is gay. I ask her if she feels loved by me. She does.
Bingo.
Does she know I don't agree with it? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But does she feel loved and supported by me? 100%.
And that's it. And that's it. That's huge.
Sort of, that sort of closes the case, doesn't it?
So, well, not on everything.
Think, but
not on everything.
But that angle.
But I mean,
of it,
also,
I think
there is no case here as far as I'm concerned. There is a person who has the right to express themselves. I certainly flap my gums with my opinions. And, you know, and that's it. And really, the spirit of people, two people talking and saying whatever they want to say in a free country is, that's what I love about where I live. I don't love a lot of other stuff about it, but I love that part that we can express ourselves without worrying about somebody that kicks the door in.
Yeah.
And really, if you take any philosophy to its extreme, you say if any point of view, any political belief, any religious belief becomes all encompassing and at its absolute extreme, well, that's when doors start getting kicked in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody wants to see that. So hopefully that puts
violence on either side.
I think you don't want everybody to have all the power either, because yes, if you agreed. Have all the power, absolute power corrupts.
Absolutely. I would be okay, Mike, if you had all the power. But I think whoever you give it to has to be someone responsible and level-headed.
Mike can't have all the power with that computer.
No,
Mike has all the power, but he accidentally lost the Constitution in the reboot.
Mike would try to set off the nukes, but the button wouldn't work.
I can't figure it out.
Gotta set up the nukes again.
I have learned my lesson. We've told Rob to do it before, and I'm sure Rob doesn't do it every day. I do it every day now, and I didn't do it today. And that's reboot, reboot, reboot. That's what you have to do. And then, I won't say the other thing. Yeah, I have to say it. No, I won't. No, I won't. Yes, I will. No, I won't. Yes,
you want
I
me to
will.
Flip a coin?
Yeah, go ahead.
As to whether or not you should say it?
Okay. No, it always lands on he's going to say it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what the coin
I'm gonna
says.
Say it. I feel like there's tomfoolery afoot with that. Because I think some of the things have been, I'm warned about compromised passwords and things like that on a daily basis with this stuff that I'm dealing with here. And, well, you know, as Josh will tell you, we get hacked all the time.
Yeah. And also, you know, isn't it funny that it happened right after we were making fun of Josh? Josh knows a lot about computers.
Well, those right-wing fucks that are out there messing with us, and we just lost Rob.
Making computers great again.
I just wanted to show Rob I can do kick.
See, I told you. He's a very powerful man.
That got me. That totally got me. I said, oh, my God. So there it is. And by the way, the give and take by the listeners in the comments, the people that follow us on our YouTube channel and subscribe to our YouTube channel and come and visit us every day. You're getting bigger and bigger, and we really appreciate it, and we appreciate the participation. I think that the more diverse opinions we have there and the more ball-busting we have there, the better the show is. That's it. That's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to say about that.
We want to be a home for everyone.
Now, getting back to the whole messy, messy, messy thing.
Yes.
Josh, if you're able to find it sometime during the show, I'd love to see the highlights of his three goals. But I will also say it doesn't change my mind about the sport of soccer where they have a collision and then they pretend they're hurt badly when they really aren't. That's the part that pisses me off. That's the part I have trouble,
Does Messi ever do that? Do it
at some point because it's part of the game to get their little penalty kicks. And I should not use diminishing terminology by saying their little cards.
Yeah,
their little
shorts. You should diminish it. I'm sure they diminish football and baseball.
Well, you hate all
over
sports,
there.
So you're not an objective
not
party
all sports,
on that.
Not all sports. I like golf. I like bowling.
Oh, God, bowling. I haven't bowled in a long time. I miss bowling.
And you used to be a league guy.
league guy.
We'll go Friday night.
Hey, yeah, Mike, you're a league guy.
Yeah, there you go.
But are there certain players, and I don't know because, I mean, of all the sports I don't follow soccer the most. Are there players that are notorious for the fake injury, or is it pretty a league-wide
thing? I'm sure during the various leagues, there are particular individuals who showboat more than anybody else.
Because I remember on that Monday night game when Joe Theismann faked the broken leg?
Oh, God. I remember that. I watched it live. God almighty, that was
so
tough.
So bad.
That was tough. That's Lawrence Taylor with his hands on his helmet like this going, oh, my God. It was terrible, terrible the way that happened. So
this is
Messi's hat trick. Oh, the third goal.
This is the third goal.
Third goal.
Soccer highlights suck, so there are no clips of it all together.
Okay. All right, let's take a peek.
Back to Messi. Messi! One of one. Never to be replicated.
Thrilling. I'm not a soccer expert. I'm not a soccer, but it looked like What was that goalie doing? A little. I think he leaned to the wrong side.
He did.
Maybe, but
I think he was moving a little furniture up in the old nasal package, and that happened.
GK Design says, never watch a sport where the clock counts up.
That makes sense. Makes perfect sense to me.
Or my problem with soccer is you never know when it ends.
Yeah, I hate that too. I have to say
that. The whole stoppage time, but they don't publicly tell you what the stoppage time is.
So the clock is just like a suggestion, right?
Some guy, the referee, has the whistle and he knows, but then it meanders to the end and it always ends like that, you know?
Because the way it works is they keep the clock running the entire game.
Running.
But there's a ref that pauses it secretly throughout the game.
Mm-hmm.
So his clock is now different than everyone else's clocks.
Yes.
Maybe we could do that on this show. I mean, I know we always shoot for the same length, but like, okay, we're not counting the time now. We just can't do it.
I want to take a break. It's time to whistle every time. No, please, God, no.
No, don't, no.
We'll take a break and come back with some tidbits for you right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Here's a quick message from today's sponsor, the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. If you've ever owned a pet, you know they run on their own logic. Jump first, think later. Ask questions, never. I've got dogs, so I know this is true. It's part of what makes them so lovable, but it's also how you end up with those surprise vet visits you didn't see coming. ASPCA Pet Health Insurance helps cover eligible vet expenses. So when those moments happen, you can focus on getting them the care they need without overthinking the cost or second-guessing your decision. When you enroll in an ASPCA Pet Health Insurance plan, you could even get a $25 Amazon gift card. It's a little treat for you while you're doing something great for your pet. The program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier to get your pet the care they may need. Who's a good boy? You are. If you enroll in the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Plan, it's been around for almost 20 years and has covered nearly 1 million pets in that time. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Amazon terms for more info. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
You know, I was thinking about my dogs that I cuss out loudly when there's a little accident in the house, but I sure do love them, and I love having that sponsor. I just wanted to mention that. Hit the music, Slim. Let's get started. Now, after months of fighting, there are signs that the war between the United States and Israel and Iran might finally be winding down. It looks like it might be really happening. A ceasefire, is on the horizon. So here's there are some details that are leaking out.
Okay.
Let's see what they are. The first thing is that G7 leaders meeting in France today demanded a ceasefire in Lebanon and said they'll diversify energy supplies to cut dependence on the Strait of Hormuz. Meanwhile, the details of a U.S.-Iran interim agreement are leaking out of both Washington and Tehran, with a formal announcement expected Friday. The deal would launch talks toward a full and final end to a conflict that has killed more than 7,000 people. So what they are saying is that hopefully it will be over, and it looks like it's
going to be over, but it turns out that there is a referee for the war and there is some time that they have not counted yet. So it might go a little longer.
Rob just made a soccer joke and
barely.
That's right.
Yeah. I like that Trump says he's going to do a press conference just to read through the document. And read it. It's going to be the most boring thing ever.
And it'll be the first time he's read it. Yes. But who knows? We'll have to wait and see. SpaceX, you know that. That's Elon, right? That's his company.
The trillionaire.
Oh, I thought it was the brand of condom you used.
They are buying the popular AI coding startup Cursor in an all-stock deal.
Damn it.
That is worth $60 billion. Get your head around that number for a second. $60 billion. I mean, it's stunning the amount of money we're talking about here. The acquisition gives Elon Musk's rocket company a new foothold in the crowded AI software market. I can't even count them anymore, the number There's of different programs that are out there with AI. Cursor is already pulling in more than $2 billion a year in business revenue. The deal is expected to close later on this year. And I don't even know about Cursor. I'm still trying to get my head around Grok, Mike, and Claude and all the other ones.
Let me tell you about $60 billion. If you got $1 million today, and $1 million the next day, and $1 million every day, you would get $60 billion in about 164 years. That's how much money it is.
It's really stunning. It is.
We'll sell the show for $1
billion. $1
billion.
The show is yours. Yeah. Dirk, I know you've always wanted it. And Dirk, if you buy the show for $1
billion. Well,
if you're a listener already, half a billion. We'll give you a deal.
If you buy the show for $500 million,
$1 billion,
she's yours.
Yeah,
she's yours to have. Now I will remain married to her, but you can have her whenever you want, and I haven't even asked her.
Yeah, well, she'll say yes,
and I'll vote for whoever you want.
There you go. There it is. Thank
and that
you,
beats
everybody.
The pants off the $10,000 we were getting from KCJJ every day.
Country star Jelly Roll's 18-year-old daughter, Bailey Ann. Isn't that a great country name? Hey, Bailey Ann!
He should have named her Cinnamon.
Come on now. She is speaking out after his split from his wife, Bunny EXO. EXO, or is it? What is it? I don't know, EXO or XO.
I think I've heard EXO. Isn't that tragic, though, that those kids couldn't work it out?
In a TikTok post this week, the teenage daughter said she's disgusted by how invested everyone has gotten in what she calls a clearly private family matter. Well, unfortunately, that's the way of showbiz.
Why is she going public with it?
She's telling her followers to worry about their own households instead of hers. She added that she's not ready to talk about the divorce herself, saying she'll share her thoughts later, just not yet. Jelly Roll. filed for divorce last month in Tennessee, ending nearly 10 years of marriage, with court filing showing that the two plan to divide their assets by mutual agreement. And of course, a lot of people
donkeys, because they have donkeys, I know.
Well, a lot of people are speculating that this all happened when he got skinny.
Yeah.
That she was there supporting him, during his weight loss.
There's a long track record of Ozempic leading to divorce.
Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's why I had to be begged to come back when I lost my weight.
I know that when Jelly Roll filed the divorce papers, he completed by eating the attorney.
That's still a fat joke.
It is. Well, happens. You know what? He's always going to be fat in my eyes, as I will always be fat.
Yeah.
You just can't shake it.
Yeah. I may have shared with my son a new line. You know, it's really not a day unless that day has ice cream.
Are you going to open a parlor one of these days, Mike? You would be so great if you opened an ice cream parlor.
I would love it. I have a good forearm.
That business would shut down faster than your restaurant.
A major new review is pouring cold water on one of the most popular supplement habits out there. Researchers say calcium and vitamin D pills. Long push for stronger bones. I know calcium forever.
That's it. That's the whole thing. Yeah.
And
bones
also
and teeth.
Fewer falls in older adults show little to no real benefit.
Really?
How many people?
Cal lied to me my entire childhood.
Calcium. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Cal for calcium. Doctors say weight-bearing exercise and a balanced diet still do more for your skeleton than whatever's in your medicine.
It makes me worry for older people.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joyce Brothers. Those of us who are independent and live alone shouldn't do so without having emergency protection.
That's right, Joyce.
Yes, that's something around your neck that you can press a button. But what if you lose consciousness? Right.
And Mike, I'm wondering, do falls cause broken hips or do broken hips cause falls?
I really don't know, but mine is feeling much better today. Thank you for asking.
Good. Here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah.
Hip.
Mine feels better today.
Good.
I'm hoping it's okay. I really, really.
We're all hoping.
Thank you. I know the country
except for Josh.
You know how he is.
I know.
Finally today, a California dude is headed to prison for 9 years after a birthday party took a wild turn. Authorities say he polished off an entire handle of Jack Daniels.
Now, there is a game on The Price is Right, and that's called That's Too Much. And I believe that's too much.
A handle is a half gallon, right?
1.75 liters, yeah.
Almost
a half gallon. I don't know why I know that, but yeah.
A handle of Jack. I would imagine that would kill you, but it didn't him. Then he grabbed a gun.
Naturally.
And he opened fire on a sheriff's office helicopter that was circling overhead. He blasted away for nearly 20 minutes. He did it for 20 minutes straight. Nobody was hurt, but the party and his freedom are definitely over. And here's the sad part, that once they hauled him away, he was unable to enjoy the large chocolate pie that was brought out for the guests of the party.
Can you imagine how big that pie must have been?
Almost a mile wide. Yes,
I hear that.
So congratulations on that. Hope you enjoyed that, everybody. Hey, I want to tell you about something, because that's what I do on the Mike O'Meara Show. I tell you about things that I like and things that'll help you. This is Radio's Mike O'Meara. Perhaps you remember me from my radio days. Well, now I'm fully digital. That's right. I was also on the show Rat Patrol.
You were great. Yes.
Now, have you heard everyone talking about peptides? Have you? Do they teach you that here? Peptides. I happen to know a lady that is truly into peptides. You should be as well. You've heard them. Peptides are tiny chains of amino acids that help support your body's natural processes and overall wellness. So, are you feeling tired all the time? Let's talk. Can't lose weight? Let's talk. No matter what you do, let's talk. Trouble sleeping? Talk. Talk about it. Why not talk? And ladies, if you're dealing with hot flashes, night sweats, mood swings, weight gain, poor sleep, or low libido, let's talk about it.
Talk!
Let's talk specifically about hormones. Hormone replacement therapy, or HRT, is now available too. If you're not sure where to go, well, go to DermGlowSkin.com and click the weight loss and peptides button. Then click explore products and take the wellness quiz. Whether you're interested in weight management, hormone support, healthy aging, better sleep, more energy, or overall wellness, the quiz can help point you in the right direction. HSA and FSA cards are accepted, and Klarna available too. Visit DermGlowSkin.com and take the wellness quiz today. That's DermGlowSkin.com. Peptides, the future, and the future is at DermGlowSkin.com. Time for a little dream analysis from Mr. Rob Spiewak, since he's been off the booze, are the night terrors still continuing to happen?
I haven't woken up shaking in 2 weeks, which is great.
Good for you. Congratulations.
No, I never really had like physical manifestations of withdrawal. I was very lucky about that. Mm-hmm. But this dream was lengthy and vivid and weird. Okay.
Now, are you somebody that writes dreams down next to your bed when you wake up?
No. My mom does that. And my mom, whenever I call her with a weird dream, she swears I get it from her. But we have the same pattern. And the weird dreams usually happen if you get up in the middle of the night to take a leak or whatever, then you go back to sleep. The second portion of the sleep is when the dream hits. And in this one, I was at a wedding. And it was my cousin Andy's wedding, and I went to his wedding 15 years ago, but he was not in this wedding. The bride was the same person. It was his wife, Megan, but in the wedding, her name was Lorelai.
How old is Andy in real life?
Andy, I think now is about 40.
Okay.
He's coming into town. He's serving in the military. He's a high-ranking military official in Germany. He's great. He's a hero. He's been in the military his entire life and has an unblemished military record.
His rank?
I think he is almost a colonel now. I don't know his exact rank because I don't follow it, but he was nearing colonelship the last time we spoke. So he's doing
Are military things like sports to you?
Well, I mean,
are they
I've never
a little
served...
too manly for you?
Now, what the hell does that mean?
Well, you say you don't, like, I don't follow that. Well, you said, I mean, it, you not, said it like you were talking about, like, you don't follow baseball or something. You don't follow, weren't you at his wedding or something? Didn't you speak at his wedding or something like that?
No, I never spoke at his wedding. And okay. Mike, that's funny you should bring that up. And the military, you know what? They're all heroes to me. I'm sorry I don't have an intricate understanding of the ranking system.
You don't know how it works?
Well, I know basically how it works.
It goes private, corporal,
yes,
sergeant. And then yes. After sergeant, you get into lieutenant,
mm-hmm.
then captain,
right?
Then colonel. A major,
where's colonel,
and then there's lieutenant colonel,
mm-hmm.
and then there's colonel, and then there's general. I think
well,
I got
you have
it right.
You have never looked more manly than you just did.
No, it's like you know. I
no,
think,
it is, Mike. No. It's very manly. It's macho.
You're explaining it like there's a pitcher, there's a catcher, there's a first baseman.
You know, it'd be great. Mm. Could you explain military ranks to me at a baseball game? Then we could really be men.
Yeah, I know. And right. You could explain how to keep a house nice and clean.
Yeah, you know what? You could take a lesson. I've been to your house.
Oh my God! Really?
So I'm well, at his wedding. I'm at his wedding. And it is a huge wedding, or like almost in a cathedral.
This is the dream. We're back on the dream now.
But
all right.
It is, the wedding is being.
I just want to bust balls today.
On stage. It's shocking. It doesn't show.
Are you wearing an apron in the dream?
I'm wearing an I Love Mike O'Mara t-shirt.
He's the maid of honor.
Yeah. No, Mike, amazingly, I don't remember what I'm wearing. Okay. So. It's like in a huge cathedral, but instead of an altar, there's like a dais. There's a stage. And Andy and his wife in this dream, Lorelei, are up there. And they're flanked on either side with the wedding party. It almost looks like the Last Supper. And they said, are you ready to speak at the wedding? I said, yes, I've been practicing the whole time. And then they start bringing out different acts. It's not a wedding, per se.
Are you dressed like the Virgin Mary? Since it's a Last Supper thing.
No, no, I'm not dressed. I'm dressed like Judas is what I'm dressed like. Yeah. So they bring out the first act, and it is
at the
Jerry
supper?
Seinfeld. At the wedding. This is still the wedding. There's performing. And so they bring out Jerry Seinfeld, but they say, ladies and gentlemen, here is Elvis Presley. And Jerry Seinfeld comes out, and it's clearly Jerry Seinfeld, but he's wearing a jumpsuit, and he sings Hound Dog. And everybody loves it.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Exactly.
Crying all the time, and you ain't no friend of mine.
So the whole thing.
How many gummies last night?
I had zero gummies, and it was
love me tender. Go ahead.
I grow dissatisfied with Jerry's performance, and I go to the bathroom, and the bathroom is just a normal bathroom, except all of the urinals and the toilets are really low to the ground, like 6 inches off the ground, really? And the sink too. And then another guy comes in. Now, here's the thing. I only know, like, I recognize three faces in the wedding when I look back on it, but at the time, I knew everybody. And the guy says, well, I see you got your outfit. Oh, and you know what, Mike? Yes, I do know what I was wearing.
Is it a military uniform?
No, it was like a British woolen cap and a vest and
like
a tie.
Like a Queen's Guard?
No. More like a newsboy, almost. Like like a 1930s.
Like a cap?
Yeah, a woolen cap. That became an issue later. And he says, I hope you're ready to speak. I said, absolutely, I'm ready to speak. And he said, why are you in the bathroom?
Is it made of leather?
No, it's tweed. Would you listen, please?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Jesus. Sorry. So I go in there, and he says, well, why are you in the bathroom? I said, well, I was going to take a leak, but all these things are too low, so I'm just going to hold it. So I go back out into the sanctuary, and three or four people say, are you ready to speak? I said, absolutely. So Jerry Seinfeld finishes up, and then there's an MC of some sort, and he says, before we bring out the mariachi band, we want to have some words from Rob Spiewak. And so they call me up to the stage.
I know what
and
this dream's about.
There's a smattering of applause, but not enough to get me to the stage. And when I get to the stage, instead of there being like normal stairs, there is a tiny, like maybe 12 inches in diameter, spiral staircase that I have to carefully climb to get up to the stage without falling, which is really hard to do. And I finally get up there and I get to the lectern and I put down the prepared remarks for the wedding. And it's my dad's eulogy. And
well, I'm that's like, directly
that's what this is all about.
That's what I thought.
I was going to guess that anyway, and that's and you're experiencing anxiety over the event, which is normal, and that's exactly what it is.
As you know, a eulogy is the hardest speech to give because not only are you trying to honor the person, but it's the last chance to do so. So I kind of improv. They're a wedding speech, and I look in the audience, and it's my mom, and she looks at me, and she just shakes her head, no, you're not doing well, no. And then in the back, my Uncle Philip stands up, and he says, you're not using the mic right. Sing into it like you're a crooner.
This is obvious what it is, right?
Yeah,
this is
yeah. And I get through it, and I think it was okay. And then they said, all right, let's bring out the mariachi band. And the leader of the mariachi band is a lady that is like a very efficient, almost like administrative assistant, like tight hair and a bun. And she says, now we're in the sanctuary, so we're still going to fire the gun, but don't be nervous. And the mariachi band starts out, and it's like, and then bang! They fire a pistol in the air, and the band continues, and we all walk out to the Andy and Lorelei wall that they have built during the ceremony outside of the church. And then I turn around, and the church shares a parking lot with FedEx Field. And everybody in their wedding attire all go in to watch well, in this dream, it was the Redskins. We watch the Redskins play, except now I'm at home watching the Redskins on TV. And every shot after a play is people in wedding garb in the crowd at the football game, like tuxedos and evening gowns, cheering the game. And that's when I woke up.
Wow.
This makes so much sense.
It's I'm glad it does to you.
It's clearly you panicking about the eulogy.
I'm sure that's it.
Are because that's your biggest public speaking mistake that gets put in your face all the time.
I had never thought about that.
What's the biggest public? Oh, yeah.
Big Dan
Wilkerson. Oh, my God, that's right. When he was a PA announcer for the Redskins.
But up until you saying you were given the eulogy, I've been typing your dream into ChatGPT.
Okay, and what does it say?
The wedding means a major life event.
Okay.
So that makes sense. Lorelei is a different name because it wants you to know it's not real. And something's off in this, and it's artificial.
Okay.
The cathedral represents a stage that you're going to be up in front of people. Jerry Seinfeld being Elvis means that you feel out of place and like an identity crisis, like this shouldn't be you.
Wow.
Everything low to the ground means life is distorted and feels out of place. And it's like you're in the right world, but it doesn't quite fit. Then it says the Newsboys outlet is tied to your identity. That Rob talks about nostalgia, old movies, old radio, old music, family history, and the outfit represents a version of Rob.
Wow.
The spiral staircase is levels of awareness. As you know, you have to get to a point, but you're walking through it. And then the eulogy says that every major family gathering now contains a piece of your dad.
That is pretty. I say that's, if not dead on, it makes perfect sense to me.
All right,
weird,
but it's pretty clear. I think it's pretty obvious. You know, it kind of backs up everything I was thinking about this. So, how much? I want to do this without putting you on the spot, but how
put
much
me
has,
on the spot? That's fine.
How much has it occupied? I've watched you. I think it was your grandfather. I was at the service for your grandfather.
Yeah.
And I watched you give a really beautiful eulogy for your granddad.
Yeah. Big Daddy.
Big Daddy. How much has this, this memorial occupied your mind, and specifically how much your eulogy or whatever words you want to say or toast or whatever?
About 10,000%. When I was spending the weekend with Kathy, she said, I'd like to see, not in a pushy way, but she just said, I'd like to see the eulogy before you do it. Could you send me a copy? I said, right now, all I have are notes. And she said, you're going to go up there with notes? I said, no, I'm going to flesh it out. She says, when? It's Saturday. And I just keep dragging my feet. I think Kathy, it's because
Kathy, hi, it's Mike. You know, I've experienced this. He'll pull it together.
No, I think I will. But I
this
think
is
I'm,
also not what you're used to.
I'm
you,
also,
you being at the center and everyone looking at you. You're used to being the sidekick, making the jokes and making people laugh, and now you got to be in a serious situation.
And I think that the eulogy, and while I am really, and this sounds bad, I'm looking forward to his celebration of life.
Well, you've turned it into an event. I mean, I think he would be thrilled that you're, you know, you've opened it to the public, and you know, that's a very, very cool thing.
I think it's going to be fun. But what I think in the back of my mind, I've given this dream a lot of thought, not with the amount of logic that ChatGPT has. This is going to be, this is the final thing. This is the cherry on the grieving sundae. This is the final button. That this is the one, this is his send-off. This is the end of this segment of the grief. And I'm hesitant to put it down on paper because it means really, really ending of a chapter.
All right.
Of him being gone.
Can I speak from my own personal experience?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is not true. So if that...
But you can see me thinking that, can't you?
Yeah, and I also think it's not a good thought to go into with the finality of it. Because it'll make the day more difficult for you if you think in terms of that. Your relationship with your dad and your thoughts of your father and your grieving for your father there is no end to it. It's forever. And so, is this an event where you're going through a process of something that's going to honor your dad? Yeah, but the if you obsess about the finality of it, it can probably make it a more difficult process for you to do. When you think of the fact that you will be, I don't even know if you know that I've written this to a lot of people that he will live in your heart forever.
Yeah.
And that is never going to change. And the grieving is extraordinarily fresh right now. And so that will continue, I'm aware of that.
And also, in the past couple weeks, it has shifted a little bit away from absolute grief and sadness into memories and pleasant things. Sure, I miss him. I'd love to grab the phone and call him one more time.
What are you looking for out of this memorial? Are you looking at this
donations? There'll be a coffee can.
That's already been covered.
Are you looking for a big party to celebrate your dad? Is that what kind of the thought is for this?
Yeah, we've got people coming from all eras of his life, his childhood, when he was in high school. His first wife is going to be there.
So treat it like a retirement party.
Yeah, kind of like retiring from life. And another responsibility that it lays on me is that while my grief and loss will continue and morph and change and evolve as time goes on, this will likely be the last time a lot of these people think about my dad. You know, because if they're just tangential to his life and they're taking the time to come to the celebration, there's not going to be many people there that, like, when they see something on TV or hear a song, they're going to say, oh, God, that was Bob's favorite. That will not be there for them. So I want to give them something beyond the party. I want to say words that mean something and stay with them. And that's a lot of pressure. And I just don't – and I don't think that I can't do it, double negative. I know that I can do it, but I don't want to bobble it. I don't want it to be – overly sentimental. I don't want to be overly goofy. It's a thin line because it's not a tear-jerking eulogy. It's a celebration eulogy. And I got in my head.
Can I make it all about me for a minute?
Of course. Yeah. Are you back to making the surprise entrance?
Please, no jumpsuit.
My question is, would it help?
Yeah.
I'm thinking myself more important than I really am. Would it help if I just took a walk around the block while you were doing it? Or do you want me to be there when you're
doing it? No, I would like you to be up there in character. Could
you? Yes.
Could you do Arnold?
I'm going to... I will say this.
I don't want to make eye contact with you.
I want you to be there. I want to hide when all this is going on, because I think it's your day.
You'll have an easy time of it because the weather is going to be sensational. So I think we're going to have it in the beer garden outside.
Okay.
Good. So you can duck inside and, you know.
But, okay.
But yeah. What was your dad's favorite character?
What's that? Mike's?
What was your dad's favorite character?
My dad loved Charlie.
Great show. Like at Charlie, the conclusion of it, I'll say, right. Great job, Rob.
Charlie, exactly. Did you know that MRSA is what took him out? What do you know about MRSA, Charlie?
It's an infection.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
That's where we're at.
Oh, no. Okay. Racer PGT says, how many gummies? I recommend Zed.
No, none. No, none. I took.
You tried that once. It didn't work.
I took a gummy when I was in the Eastern Shore after we had a rough day of going through his stuff, and it helped then. But I'm not, you know, I enjoy the gummies. I will occasionally do them, but I'm not an everyday gummy guy, and I'm certainly not. I want all my wits about me.
Is your wife going?
She is trying to move her schedule around, as a matter of fact.
Depends on the dogs.
You know, it's funny. We actually, and I have a picture. Right now, we are a three-dog house. We have taken a 2.5-week dog border into our home, so we have a third dog, Mike. Meet Lula, who is an older beagle.
What is the deal with beagles in you guys? It's always beagles.
No, but, no. But now, I mean, Sebastian's not a beagle.
Linus is a beagle.
No, he's part Lionel. Beagle.
But now that you got three dogs, you can set up a poker night.
It's true. It's true. But this is a good dog, except that when she gets excited, she will howl. Ooh.
Okay. All right. So that's it. You're
Carrie will be there. Carrie will be there.
So. You're experiencing a, you know, I don't know if it's just you want it to be perfect, probably like a wedding or anything that. And it will be. It will be because it's just filled with love.
But I really appreciate the dream analysis from Josh and ChatGPT. But understand, without jumping into the analysis, just what a weird dream it was. And it took forever.
I think when you are at heightened anxiety or anticipation, that's when dreams tend to get pretty intense. You know, I had a dream that I don't remember all that well, but I was with Lady Gaga.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Were you Tony Bennett?
No. No.
I might have
been.
Funeral?
I might have went up. Whose funeral was it? It might have been. I might have been one of her, younger dancers or something like that. Yeah.
This was a dream.
And I was, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Gaga? There's something about, by the way, am I alone in, I find her exotic.
I
find
too.
Her very, mm-hmm. very appealing in a really cool way. I think she's a good leading lady. I'd like to see her do more movies.
Dad, what did you think of A Star Is Born?
I thought it was average.
I thought it was pretty good, and I thought she was sensational.
Their chemistry, do you think that they, off camera? Do you think they
had a little thing? What he did is he would pretend that he was a younger dancer. Ooh.
There we go. Well, good luck.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you guys there.
What
it
time,
means a lot that you're coming.
If people are planning, they're more than welcome. Anyone
absolutely.
To come
as
and
I
visit?
Said earlier, anyone who's even tangentially associated with my father, this is an open event. Don't think if you were not a friend or if you weren't related, you should exclude yourself. I want to see everyone show up and share in the love, as people did when he would travel with the show. Mm-hmm. He was beloved by so many people on the show.
Yeah.
Just come on out.
He held
court. Have a good time. He did. Yeah, he did.
All right. Good luck with that. And
thank you. Appreciate
we've got,
it.
More coming up. We're going to talk about, we're going to go from something very sweet to something that's just purely mercenary.
Great.
And really,
that's what this show is about.
Trying to make a quick buck. And
I think it's sweet.
I'm not supportive. It's that time of year, ladies and gentlemen. We've got hot days. We've got cool nights. Summer lovin', fireworks, ice cream, and no more teachers' dirty looks. It's the official start of the TMOS No Bummer Summer, which means it's the return of an hour under the tower.
Love it. It's a great event.
Rob Spiewak, Josh Soroka, Saturday, June 27th at precisely 12 noon. I was not able to make my schedule work, but I will be there in spirit.
Yes.
Josh and Rob will be under the tower with a meetup at the Eiffel Tower at King's Dominion Amusement Park in Doswell, Virginia. King's Dominion is the place to be. That's what I always say, to hang with Rob and Josh.
Mike, as an ambassador to the park, I feel I must ask this. Do you recall at the last Hour Under the Tower, we FaceTimed you?
I don't. I think I've blacked that out.
Well, we will be doing it again, and I suggest you answer because we want you to be a part of the fun.
You know what? If you call me from there, I might. We'll meet, we'll greet, plus one lucky listener will win a King's Dominion Family Fun Pack. That is four tickets and parking for any day this summer. Good luck.
Yeah, it's a great gift.
Afterwards, we'll all hit the park and live like kings, because it's the King's Dominion.
That's the dominion of the king, yes.
Saturday, June 27th, under the Eiffel Tower. I don't know why I have to say it with the Baltimore accent.
I love it. I think it's
my
great.
Favorite word to say in Baltimoreese. Right at the end of International Street. I tell you, it's so international that English won't be the only language
Mike,
being
spoken.
Mike,
you laugh, but there is Italian food, there's Mexican food,
yes.
And the Build-A-Bear. It's
the
all
only
on
thing
International
Mike cares
Street.
About, mm-hmm, yeah, there's lots of ice cream.
Lots of ice cream. But as
blue
far
ice cream, yeah.
All the food, the cans, are made in the U.S. of A. You can't miss it. King's Dominion is located at 16,000 Theme Park Way. There must be tons of addresses.
Yeah. Well, you want to make sure you go to the right
1601.
Yeah, you want to go to the right theme park, Mike.
If
check
you get
the address.
One, it'll take you years.
16,001 is across the street because it's an odd number.
Doswell.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Roswell.
No, very different. Very different.
Easily accessible via Interstate 95. It sure is. I think it's probably the easiest amusement park. Well, off the I-4 slab, you can get to the Orlando parks, too. But this, you can see the tower from the highway.
Yeah,
it's
and
the
also the parking
to
is
Virginia.
The parking yes. is so much easier at KD.
It's the easiest to get to from Virginia's I-95. See you
yes.
there June 27th. Now, speaking of theme parks, a man that has the lifetime pass to the Disney theme parks.
Yes.
But
is
he's
our,
not an ambassador to Disney.
No, he's like no. You are an ambassador for Kings. Are you an ambassador to or an ambassador for?
Ambassador for.
Ambassador for. He is a lifetime subscriber. You go to Disney now. How many times total since you got your pass?
Once or twice a month.
But do you have your name on the Walk of Fame yet?
No. We go in the evenings, and we don't even do the rides. Sometimes we do rides. Sometimes we don't.
Okay.
We just go there, hang out, have date nights. It's great.
And two of your loves crisscrossed, your love of, scouring through inexpensive merchandise
people's
and
refuse,
selling
yeah.
it. Yes.
Yeah, I had to go down there because my favorite ride is shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
But we can talk about that tomorrow or next
okay.
week or whatever.
All right. Okay.
You
but,
should at least mention the name of it.
Well, it's the Carousel of Progress.
Mike, there's
but
a great I think, big beautiful tomorrow.
But we need more time because
that's
I think
it's... your favorite?
It is. That's what... Really? That's why I said we can save it for next week or the bonus show, or we can talk about it now.
No, I'm the Carousel of Progress. It's just
I brought you a video.
The Carousel of it. Is that the one where you go up into the sphere?
No, that is Spaceship Earth.
Yeah,
that's right.
This, my okay. The Carousel of Progress, it tracks 100 years in the life of a family, and the father is portrayed by Mike O'Mara.
It's the one where the seats go around and the stage moves, and it tells a story of the family from 1900 to then the Roaring 20s, then the 40s, and then 1999.
How is the 1999? Is it not looking dated?
Oh, it was dated in 1999.
Yes.
And what impressed me is they updated the 1999 setting in 1994 with what they thought would happen in 5 years.
Right.
And it's still It's fine. It's like VR headsets and talking to your house to make it.
But it's almost 30 years later now. Right. And are they going to update it? Do you ever talk to them about that?
Oh, yeah. They are shutting it down on July 6th.
Who's he going to call? Roy Disney?
And that's...
Hey, Roy, it's Josh. Listen, you know I'm a season pass holder.
What are you doing?
It is my favorite ride because it is basically the start of Disney World.
Okay.
It was one of Walt Disney's first rides. And I love the looking at how much things have changed over the last 100 years.
All right. And so, they are
shutting it down.
They're shutting it down to reopen it at a later
date? They're shutting it down on July 6th. Okay. So I had to squeeze in a trip. And they're going to open it up next year sometime.
Okay.
And it's going to start with the first Trump administration. Then it'll go to the second Trump administration.
All right, very cool. Yep.
Then you go to January 6th, then you move on.
All right, so what did you scavenge and resell at a substantial profit?
Do you want to know what they're remodeling it to?
What are they, 2026?
They're going to start with that weird animatronic of Walt Disney that we had a few months ago.
Oh, the one that doesn't look like
where
Walt.
Where he introduced it. Yeah.
Right.
Then they're going to do the moon landing, the 1980s, still 1999, but they're going to make it like real 1999. Okay. And then a future time.
Like in 1999, Mike, they're going to play the song by Prince.
And a party like it's 1990. Not many people played that song in 1999.
Mike. That's why you get to play the father in Carousel of Progress.
But
welcome.
The World's Fair is going to be a hot one this year.
Hi. I hope you're enjoying the Carousel of Progress. All right. What do you want to know
about the grift?
Yes. What was the grift?
I got it right here. The grift is I was walking around and I saw these popcorn buckets. And I said, those are pretty cool. I want one for myself. And then I was talking with Chad Dukes, and I sent him a picture, and he said, get me one too. So then I realized, oh, other people probably want this.
Sure.
So while in the park, I took a picture of it, and I posted it online. It cost me $22. I sold it for $70.
Oh, God.
Before leaving the park. So I then went and bought three more. And here is... my popcorn bucket.
Oh, it's Sam the Eagle from the Muppet Show. Yeah.
Where do they put the popcorn?
In their mouth. Oh, there.
Oh, my God. That is Sam. And what perfect for the 250th.
Yeah, it's their 250.
And it's like he's at a lectern. He's at a podium. That's awesome.
Well, I think that's what he does when he comes out and speaks on the Muppets.
Popcorn buckets are real hot right now. As you know, there was the one for Dune that looked like a marital aid. And also it looked like a
pocket murder.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
For the release of the new Supergirl movie, they're doing a bucket at KFC. This is true. That is Crypto the Superdog. So you get your chicken in a dog bucket. So you can watch for that as well.
And Supergirl carries her own bucket.
Yes, she does. That's what makes her super.
Throwback to another host on this show.
Certainly.
That's amazing. Well, how many more after you sold the original? How many more did you buy?
I bought three more. I've got two still available.
Two still available.
Shop right now.
Because now I've got them listed as $80 because I raised the price.
That's it. What
how much for shipping?
I don't know. It's like $7-$8.
Yeah, very, very exciting. Yeah. We'll step out briefly. We're really not. We're sitting right here. But do you have some video for us,
Mike,
coming up too?
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and it includes video.
Very exciting. But first, I want to tell you at the end of a work day, are you mentally spent?
Yes.
Are your nerves an absolute mess? Do you ever feel that your brain is full and then you get home and you're still all keyed up? It sucks. That's exactly why I want to tell you about Soul out-of-office THC gummies and drinks. Soul makes THC gummies and drinks designed to help you relax, unwind, and actually enjoy your downtime. Whether you're trying to chill after work, sleep better, laugh more with friends, or just quiet the nonstop chaos in your head for a little while, Soul has something for that. When I want to laugh with friends and I haven't been able to, I will take a Soul gummy and then I will simply go...
You're so silly.
Their gummies taste great. The drinks are super refreshing, and everything is made with high-quality ingredients and clearly labeled.
Yes.
Clearly labeled doses, especially so you know exactly what you're getting every single time. And the best part, no hangover, no weird mystery experience, just a smoother way to relax and take your mind out of office for a bit. Thousands of people are already making Soul part of their evening routine. So if you're ready to upgrade your chill time, check out Soul out of office gummies and drinks today. Your brain has earned the vacation. Plus, they are Spiewak and Stroka approved. And these guys are so excited, they're going to the Eiffel Tower together.
Exactly. We're going to think we're in Paris.
Give yourself the gift of a healthier unwind at the end of your day. Right now, Soul offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Cherry time.
Mike, I know you like ice cream. We've established that on this program.
Boy, do I.
And when they open up a new scoop shop, that's what I like to call them, new scoop shop.
Thanks, Sam Walker, OBX. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Attaboy, Sammy. How would you feel if they opened a new ice cream place in your neighborhood, but their sign was made on poster board?
You know, it's not like the first time I've seen a business that was kind of cheaping out before they got their real sign. So, if it was a nice place, but that seems a little like, it's still ice cream.
Well, so it seems that this place in Alabama opened up and a guy went to the grand opening and he didn't like it and he put a bad Yelp review up and... The lady who owns the place went after him. The whole thing got ugly.
Yeah, Daniel Smith tells me he went to the grand opening for the local scoop back in March. He was hoping to get a taste of some of his favorite ice cream flavors. But what happens next is far from sweet.
Don't you ever, ever worry about the local scoop again,
okay? That's the owner.
This is the aftermath after constructive criticism goes wrong. Daniel Smith says he went to try the local scoop in March, the newest ice cream shop in town.
Just didn't have a good experience, so I wrote a bad review.
It's something he does all the time, no matter if the experience was good or bad. Screenshots of his review critiquing the restaurant on its decorations. He also says the employees messed up his order.
I didn't think nothing of it until she reminded me of it.
He didn't think nothing of it.
Smith says owner Mallory Smith Goldman has since deleted the post. This week, he says the shop's owner tracked him down to confront him on his thoughts. I called the owner for her thoughts. She declined to comment.
Yeah.
In the cell phone video, you can hear profanity, insults, and allegations.
Wow.
I am mad because I have busted my ass at something, and you think you're going to run it into the ground.
Obviously,
I have to build that business.
You have some mental issues that would cause you to get mad that I left a review on your restaurant. Okay?
Three times.
Okay?
Okay.
Is it a restaurant or is it a ice cream parlor?
It's an ice cream parlor, but I guess it falls under the Yelp review of restaurant. Mike, that news story goes on for
three reviews.
It goes on for 2.5 more minutes.
Okay.
So that counts as news in Alabama now.
By the way,
they're both wrong.
If you go in and the ice cream's good and they put the right amount in it or get the, how do you mess up order in an ice cream parlor?
I would think that lady would probably be very good at ice cream.
Well, she looks, don't eat the profits. The profits, please.
No, don't do it.
Oh, man.
All right, Mike, have you ever, I know you love fishing. Your son loves fishing. Have you ever, are you a big surf fisher? Like you go out and cast into the ocean from the beach?
It's never appealed to me, but I've always been fascinated. It's, to me, just an amazingly pure form of fishing that you can actually go to the ocean's edge and throw a line out into the surf and catch something.
My father would occasionally do it. His brother Pete loved it. He'd get up at sunrise.
That are good at it, it's amazing. I think it would be very cool
and
if you were
catching
something.
And you can pull in some great stuff. I mean, like bluefish and all this stuff. But what if this is what you caught? A great white shark.
Oh, boy.
And not a small one. Look at it. I'd say it's probably 7 feet.
Man, he's taking
white shark.
It's a little white.
Is he getting the hook?
Yeah,
is he getting the hook out?
They're getting the hook out.
Yep. Wow.
I love this guy.
He's great. I would have just cut the line and let it go.
I would have thrown the pole in the water.
Right. Now, are they going to be able to get it back into the water?
big white.
I mean, the fact that he's definitely trying to take care of the shark.
This is the dangerous part, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is.
When he's taking it back into its environment, but he did that. That's an old video. I've seen that before. That is fascinating to me. Yeah. And that guy is to be commended.
That's before that guy lost his leg.
Well, the shark was so appreciative, he only bit off a finger.
It's stump.
Just stumped. Like Nate, Mike. Just like Nate in Euphoria.
Yes, yes. Poor Nate. Poor
I liked when he had time in the box. I thought that was nice.
I knew you'd enjoy it. I told you you were going to enjoy that series.
I, for years, have said I didn't find that show funny, but this season has really been funny.
Yes, sir.
Let's finish with this, Mike, because I know Josh likes robots because he loves technology. Mm-hmm. You love your bidet, right?
Oh, do I ever.
Yeah, and I like being lazy, so this is for all of us. This is the $13,000 serve-yourself robot toilet.
This is the Xiaobon Intelligent Toilet Robot from Yuabon, a groundbreaking assistive device designed primarily as a mobile, autonomous toilet for elderly people or those with mobility challenges.
Oh, dear.
The whole idea is simple but shocking, as instead of the person going to the toilet comes to the person.
Right.
What if it tips over?
The most common question flooding the internet about this video is whether you can actually poop in this thing.
Right.
Or if it is only meant for taking a quick leak. The answer is a definitive yes.
Great.
As it is built to handle absolutely everything. You can comfortably poop, and you do not even need to reach for toilet.
That's not an AI voice, is it?
As soon as you are finished,
it is.
The robot initiates a built-in bidet system for automated washing, followed by a warm air drying cycle. From there, a heavy-duty odor control mechanism instantly engages, sealing the internal chamber airtight to trap and neutralize any smells.
Hope to see these
once
on the sidewalk.
Once you are finished and back in bed, or whenever you command it, robot drives itself back to the docking station or aligns with your existing household toilet.
Yeah.
Now, look, this is great.
It extends a disposal arm, completely flushing both the solid and liquid waste
away. Oh, wow!
Immediately after, it runs an intensive self-cleaning and sanitizing cycle.
There we go.
Leaving it pristine for the next trip.
Man,
oh
man.
At the charging station, it automatically refills its clean water tank from the home water line and recharges the battery.
I am fascinated. There's the poo down there.
Contactless for caregivers and designed to eliminate the most unpleasant parts of manual care.
Look at that.
Well, that's good. The official launch price is $13,000.
What?
And the product was introduced at the 2026 Shanghai International Elderly Care
Expo. But I'm sure it's
a
medical device, so it'll just get into big insurance.
Yeah, and also, Mike, I mean, think of the money you'll save on toilet paper alone. People all over the world are excited about this.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joyce Brothers. Those of us who are independent and live alone shouldn't do so without having emergency protection.
Mike, is your beautiful video.
I can get the whole thing done with a bucket and a hair dryer. All right, there you go.
So, oh, Mike, don't drop the hair dryer in the bucket.
Yeah, you just need a person. Carla.
Mike, it's always charged, and it always has fresh water.
Very exciting. Hey, we are taping a bonus show later this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Come back, all you commenters. We'd love to see you there.
No show Thursday, no show Monday.
No show Thursday, no show Monday, as we all will be joining
Travel
Rob
day.
Up in D.C. And so this afternoon, 4 o'clock, bonus show taping. Join
us. New game today, Mike, on the bonus show.
I cannot wait. We are very, very excited. We will see you there. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
I love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Thank you for correcting my English, which stinks. I am Nanja Ibuko, exchange student from Cameroon.
Right. So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.